Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along Show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 208. That's 208. It is Boys Night, part two of 2025. That's right, just me and the fullest of faces. And I have a lime LaCroix. What do you have, Kenny?
I have a Kirkland Vitamin Zero in blueberry pomegranate.
So is that like Kirkland as in knockoff?
It's Kirkland vitamin water. Have you ever had a vitamin water?
Yeah.
It's like that, you know, flavored zero sugar.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. But I'm saying it's the Kirkland brand.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, okay, cool. I had the Gatorade Pedialyte stuff this week, and man, that stuff is good. Have you had one yet?
I've maybe had one. You know what's really good is Body Armor Light. That
really?
Stuff, I think it's coconut water based, maybe. It is so goddamn good. So that's everyone's homework. Go try some Pedialyte. Go try some Body Armor.
The Gatorade one was so salty. It was amazing. Like, I don't know. It was like a French fry that's perfectly salted, where if it was any saltier, it would be too much. But God, it was so good. So, no real updates from me, except I finished up the world's greatest and worst drop bar bike today, which is 2015 Specialized Crave Extra Large. I think it's like a 70mm stem. I can't remember. It's whatever one is right. And some force shifters or force controller brake dudes. I put some level post-mount calipers on there, and a set it up single speed to start with a force road non-wide crank, as we talked about last week. And I rode it around. I rode it to my neighbor's house today to cut grass, and yeah, it's pretty wild how you can take a bunch of stuff that just works, and it keeps working. So, yep. That's really all my update. What you got, Kenny?
I got nothing cool as far as, like, me goes. Played a little golf. Plan on doing possibly a little moto ride this weekend. But I took a week or two off on the moto. I think that's about it for me. Yeah, nothing exciting.
Okay, great. Well, let's get into something that's been on my to cover list. Let's start with something that's kind of a downer, which is, I think we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about this on or off air, but we did talk about people financing bikes, correct? Or was that all off air?
Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned it on previous shows, but where are you going with this?
Well, I think that we're going to see. So where I'm going is, it's something that kind of sticks out to me, is there's definitely, like, how do I put this? There's two types of people that finance things, I think. On one end of the spectrum that most of us are not on, you have the, like, ultra savvy. You know, they finance something at, and I'm just going to throw these numbers out. I don't care if I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. It's just for the sake of the explanation. But, you know, they finance
doing it because they're going to win in the long game. Because
right.
They have the money to back it up, they're going to win in the long game.
Right. They finance a $200,000 car at 6% because in the money market it's making 10, so they're gaining an additional 4% on that $200K over the lifespan of the loan. And those people, they know what they're doing. They've got it on lock. And if suddenly their money market, and again, I'm wrong because you'd leave your money in because things always swing around, but like if things got too weird, they could just pay the car off. They would just write a check and it'd be done, right? And then we have this new, like, Klarna is the new rent to own. It really is. Like, I remember as a kid seeing, like, Rent-A-Center and stuff like that when you'd be driving around and you're like, man, that's kind of weird. And now when you go to the grocery store, you can pay in four. And I just don't understand it. Like, if you're buying a pair of cycling shoes or sunglasses or some stupid fast fashion shit or ordering from Amazon and you need to make payments on it, you probably don't need it. It's just, it sucks. And grocery installments? What, am I just not going to eat for the next month while I pay this off weekly? Like, what's the point of that? I don't get it. Do you get it?
Oh, trust me. I don't get it at all. It's also just way more complex everywhere, right? Because that ultimately, typically, it's going to cost the retailer more than a traditional credit card. And the return process is not as clear. The support is not as clear if you have an issue, which does happen. And yeah, and I also just feel bad, honestly, for people that feel the need that that's how they have to do it. It feels almost like possibly you're taking advantage, right? Like, I think it's just a bad road to go down. It's pretty simple. Don't finance toys. It's real easy. You know, there's a couple things in your life you probably need to finance because you have to. Possibly primary vehicle and your house, for example. Possibly student loans. And beyond that, I think it's a slippery slope. I think a lot of people are going to get in a lot of trouble. It's not good. It's just a bunch of more middlemen making a whole bunch of money. So I don't like it personally. I don't get it personally. I suppose, again, if you're super savvy and you're using it to your advantage and you can totally afford to buy the stuff, like, great, that's a whole different segment, and we already mentioned that. It's weird. It's really weird. I'm afraid that we have some very unmoney savvy people. Yeah, if you can't afford it, don't buy it. I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, I can't even come up with a time when something like that would make sense. You know, and again, talking about making people's money make for you, like Troy, he's like, yeah, I got one of them discount tire credit cards because they give me 0% interest as long as I pay off any purchase within 12 months, so I don't have to buy my tires all at one time. Like, he's like, I just paid off in like 7 or 8 months. That is totally being like, yeah, I'm just going to make my money work for me, because you always keep a little bit more money on hand. I totally get those situations. But yeah, if you're on like some, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Just stop. Because I promise that you can get, unless you're buying really, really high-end sunglasses, which you don't have to have, you can just go to the gas station and get like the $20 ones, and they'll be fine. And they'll be, you'll be done. You'll have them paid for. But yeah, I just can't imagine, like, because it's things that are, I mean, I've never read the small print on something like Klarna, but like the interest rates have to be ridiculous if you don't fulfill the interest-free, penalty-free zone, because, and I'm going to get this wrong, but it's like an unsecured debt. Like, that's the reason that motorcycle financing is, like, so ridiculous. Because they're like, yeah, if it disappears, it disappears. Like, it's really easy to disappear a whole ass dirt bike. Like, you know, it can just go away, right? You can't disappear a car. You can't disappear a house, right? But, like, if you're financing sunglasses, what are they going to do? Is the Safeway credit team going to show up and take the groceries out of your fridge? Like, no, it's gone.
Yeah, they might drive your house and break your kneecaps.
Dude, that'd be sick. Just the old kneecapping people, the mob's coming back.
Well, anyway, maybe it might be fun if we can get listeners to chime in and say what they think about this quick financing stuff that's out there. It seems like a bad thing to me.
Yeah. Talking about people that would definitely show up at your house and kneecap you, the SRAM 1987 Eagle group.
Sure.
What are your thoughts?
Okay. It's fun.
Hold on. I want you to give me like a two-sentence thought. I'll give my two-sentence thought, and then we can get into it in depth.
Too expensive aluminum cranks. And you won't actually ever want to use it because your chain has a serial number on it.
Okay.
Those are my thoughts.
Really expensive. I'm going to use three sentences. Really expensive. Totally stupid. Fucking awesome. Like.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I think that it's cool. I think it's fun when companies get to do fun things and different things. I'm not really that mad about this. No one's forcing you to buy this. This is not like them taking away GX from us and being like, oh, sorry, we did market research and GX is our least selling kit and we're now going to replace it with something else. I don't know. That's clearly not what's happening here. Yeah, this is a little bit like the Levo we talked about. If you try to be too practical about this, it's not going to make sense. You can't be too practical here. You can't look at the money and be like, oh, well, the upgraded cassette should really only cost $50 more, and the laser etching on the chain should only cost this much money. It doesn't work that way. It's a limited run thing. It's a fun thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of neat. It's just weird to me that it's an aluminum crank. I know why they did, because they're going for that silver look. Totally get it. I'd like to know more details on the cassette, truly, on what exactly they did. Is this going to be possibly a continuing thing where it's like somehow a little bit lighter? That's all I really want to know.
No, yeah, I'm with you. Like, it'd be really cool if we had like an XX SL2 cassette that was analog bike only, and you just run XO or lower on e-bikes from now on. That would be totally fine with me. Wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit. You know, it goes from...
I get this being a very high-end product, but the fact that it has aluminum cranks kind of weirds me out, but then it's got like the one-piece power meter situation. I call it one-piece, the thread-on one, the nice one.
I know what you're talking about.
Do you think it would make more sense if they made this a transmission 90 mechanical level product essentially and made it cheaper? Like,
no.
what if it was $1,500 and it was just mechanical?
No, because here's the
would
thing.
People just not care about it because it's kind of mid-level?
Like, someone's gonna ride this for sure. Someone will ride theirs, and I'm totally cool with that. I don't care. I do agree with you. Like, my initial thought would be, if I had the money and really wanted one of these groups, I wouldn't ride the chain. You know, like, I would put the chain away and never get rid of it. Be like, oh, yeah, I was number, you know, 427 in the 1987 limited release in 2025, you know, and it's 2050. And you're like, you know, you got that on, like, the shelf in your little work area in your garage or whatever, like. I see someone holding on to that as like their little memento of this, but in all reality,
ready for a conspiracy theory?
Well, hold on. What I was going to say is, I think that there are a lot of people, like, for argument's sake, Wheat Ridge has a 25th anniversary Durace kit still in the box, and I see this getting shelved beside those things, and I see no problem with that. I think
it's cool. It's fun. It's fun to look at neat stuff, and I kind of like that. I'm not. On one hand, I don't like the crunchy bike shop vibe, and this is definitely not crunchy bike shop vibe. But if I went into like some really nice old bike shop somewhere in Europe, perhaps, and they had like cool group sets like under glass, that's like kind of neat. It's cool to look at that stuff.
Yeah, totally. Like, Absolute has a little display case, and it has Sean's 1,000-mile Leadville buckle in it, which is, you know, no small feat, no small achievement. And it has a bunch of really oddball stuff, you know, like some old Paul derailleur or something. And
I think that stuff cool. I would love to see, I think having a case, in a perfect world, I would love to have a couple cases with group sets in them, you know. You got the original Shimano air shifter, for example, or something crazy. And then maybe you have like the vintage mountain bike section with Cook Brothers cranks in it. And yeah, like some Paul derailleur and just cool stuff.
Yeah. And we don't have anything like that at our shop, but we do have a really old pair of cycling shoes that are tied up somewhere, like by their laces. And they're the old style of shoes where you had cleats that just worked with your pedals and toe cages, and you literally nailed the cleats into your shoe like a cobbler would. We have a pair of those. Like, every time I'm looking at our back stock of shifters, like, there they are hanging up high on the wall, and I'm like, that's pretty fucking cool. Never seen these before. That's neat, right? So, I don't know.
So, you ready for my conspiracy theory?
Always.
What if they're really not serialized? Or they're making way more than 1,987 of these?
Well, I mean,
I kind of want to find out.
They are serialized.
Well, sure. What stops you from making two of the same serial numbers?
Would anyone
actually find out?
I think so, because I think there's going to be this weird little niche of people that are like, oh, I got kit number, 500. And, if somebody's like, well, I got kit number 500. Now, I guarantee you that kit number 1 is missing. Kit number 69 is missing. Kit number 420 missing. And kit number 1987 probably missing. As in, there's probably people at SRAM that were like, I thought of this project, I called dibs on 420. Or I thought of this project, I called dibs on 69. And some of the really important dudes are like, yo, I'm getting number 1987. And it's like, shit, then I'll take number 1 because they already called dibs on 1987. Like, I don't see there's any reason for them.
But what if they like just made double the amount? So they were only duplicated one time.
Why?
I don't know. That's why it's a conspiracy theory. It's probably wrong. It's just funny. It's funny to think about. There's just a lot of trust. I don't know. I'm sketched out.
I'm not, because I think that would
Because then SRAM could just say like, oh yeah, sorry, that was a mistake. You know, there'll be like, the classic SRAM line that's on it's like a motivational poster. It's in their call center. And it says, that's the first time I've heard of that.
No, I mean, I guess in...
I just want people to think about it. That's all. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying, think about it. What stops them from doing that? I don't know. Because they can just say, so sorry, that's a mistake. You got a one of one thing. I can't believe we made two number ones.
No, I don't think that there's any... Like, the potential backlash is not worth it, in my opinion.
And also, are they really going to make more than 2,000 of these? That's a lot. Like, that's a lot of pretty expensive bespoke groups.
Yeah, it's a lot, and it is... Oh, I don't know. I just don't see any, like, benefit. I mean...
I would like all chains to be serialized, though.
I would like T-type chains to ship with a quick link that didn't match. But...
I want to know which chain machine mine comes out of.
Well, the reason I want them to not match is you have that customer with an extremely over-lubed chain. You scrub it off in front of them. You know, like you do the rag and turn the chain backwards a bunch of times trick. And then you show them how much grease you dig out of their pulleys really quick. And you're like, and then you put one drop on every roller. And when the chain link doesn't match, or the quick link power lock, whatever doesn't match, it's so much easier to locate that and do it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have new diverges in stock? Have you touched one?
No. We probably have some on the way, but I haven't touched one yet.
All right. Fine. I'm not sure that I'm really a fan of it.
What don't you like?
I feel like they just caught up and they did not go to... Like, if they had just went to, like, 53 or 54 millimeter tire clearance, then they wouldn't have to update this bike again for forever. And they didn't do that. That's really...
So what do you think about the blurring of all the lines, right? Clearly, tarmac is tarmac, but it's becoming... I feel like everything is almost moving towards the middle, right? Everything can fit such a big tire now. Do you think there's too many models that are too close to the middle? Because you got... I know tarmac is really not in the conversation, but I'll just say it. So you've got tarmac, Roubaix, Diverge, Crux... There's probably something else I'm missing. do you think they're too, are they too similar or no?
No, because the Tarmac and the Roubaix, the Tarmac and the Crux and the Roubaix and the Diverge are partner bikes.
Because I can argue, because Tarmac is obviously one end, right? So let's ignore the Tarmac for a second. But the problem is, if you have modern Tarmac versus Roubaix, is there like a big enough difference there? Or is there a big enough difference between Roubaix and Diverge? It's like, well, why not just, you know, if you just want that biggest tire bike, you know, like why maybe don't get the Roubaix, get something else, right? Like, I just feel like there's one bike every single time that you could just argue to drop.
And that bike, I think, would be, well, okay, let's back up. The Tarmac is the full-blown race bike. The Allais is the still sporty geometry all-round road bike. And then the Roubaix is the...
And then you also have the Athos.
Sorry, I meant Athos. Allais doesn't count because it's aluminum. They should... The problem is the Athos, the Allais has always been aluminum, unless it was steel. Don't at me. I know, there used to be steel Allais. But the Allais is a price point race bike. It is just an alloy Tarmac. That's all it is. Like, it's just, it's Chisel and Epic Evo. It's the same bike. So, just a little different. But, you know, same customer, different budgets. The thing that really gets me is the Diverge is supposed to be the more adventure-y bike, but they only added like 3 mils of tire, or that it was 3 millimeters of tire clearance more. And I just don't, I don't get it.
Is it up to 50 now?
Yeah.
That's reasonable. What do you want? You want the full official 2-inch, 55? Or I want, no, would that be 60?
No, 2-inch would be 51.
2-inch is 50. Okay, yeah, I'm an idiot.
Or 50.8. So I wanted to clear like a 53. So when you're running a 50, you still have a gob ton of mud clearance. That's really what I'm looking for. You know, because someone's going to be like, oh, I ran a 2.2 in the front of the new Diverge. Yeah, and as soon as like a gnat sneezed on your tire, it started rubbing on your fork crown. Like, I don't care. That doesn't count. So I don't think they have too many bikes. I just think that they don't do the job they need to do on those bikes, if that makes any sense. Like, the Allais is fine. The Tarmac is fine. The Athos is fine. The Roubaix is fine. But then you look, and like, the Tarmac and the Crux are for the same rider. They're like the light, snappy, very, you know, sporty riding big tire bike. Or, you know, it's the big tire complement to that bike. It's just not aero, because aero's not a thing. And then in gravel, really, not by anyone mainstream whose frames don't fall apart. And then you have, you know, Roubaix and Diverge. And the reason you can't make those into one bike is if you put those on this Diverge, your pedal's going to hit the ground. Like, it's just not going to work. So that's a little bit annoying. Like, the bottom bracket drop on the Diverge is so aggressive that you will have problems if you run too small of a tire. And they took away the, what do you call it? They took away the alloy with no future shock model. So the most affordable, like, Specialized is no longer offering a sub $2,000 gravel bike. That's really tough.
I wish they would. There's just not as much money in it, clearly. But I really wish they would focus a little bit more on their aluminum stuff. I think there's such a place for that. I think that would be really cool. And maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe eventually they're going to call it a totally different bike, for example, so there's not any confusion, or maybe that causes more confusion. But maybe they're going to have bespoke, kind of like they did with the Chisel. So Chisel is now aluminum. So maybe they're going to have an aluminum adventure bike, let's call it. I don't know. Just random thoughts. I truly don't know anything. So if that happens, don't like get pissed off at me. I truly don't know. Other thought is, I'm looking up geometry charts right now, but just looking at pictures, I can tell you that it's wrong. Roubaix, Roubaix's head tube needs to be a fucking inch taller. I mean, come on. It's so ridiculous. It's a Roubaix, people. If you're trying to slam a stem on a Roubaix, I'm sorry, but you're fucking doing it wrong. I just wish they could make bikes that are comfortable for the average person. Because the average person is going to buy a Roubaix. Just my little rant there. Let's look at what this is. So a 54 and head tube. So 122 on a 54 Roubaix. And the tarmac is 54 head tube.
Well, what's the stack, though? Because the drop is drastically different between those two bikes.
But here's an interesting number, though. Just looking at straight head tube length, there's a future shocky thing in there, right? So that's going to mess with it. But head tube length, 137
right
on the tarmac. It's fucking taller, but let's look at stack.
It's not taller, though.
Let's look at stack. Well, yeah, clearly, right? What I'm getting at is whatever the fuck it is now, it needs to be taller. So stack 585 on Roubaix. And, they got a different number here. It's not just called stack. It's called stack to stem. What the fuck?
Because you have to use that stem with it.
Oh, tarmac?
Because of the whole integrated crap.
Hmm. So I don't know exactly. It's 552 tarmac and 585 on Roubaix, but clearly they're different numbers. I have to dig deeper into that. Regardless, what I'm saying in general, I can guarantee you it just needs to be a little bit taller. What I'm getting at is why don't you make... I think they fall into this trap of saying like, oh, you could like kind of race a Roubaix. Stop it. Just stop it. Can we make the Roubaix more relaxed, basically, is what I'm saying. That's it.
Yeah. And in the new Diverge, that number is 592. So it's even taller.
There you go.
Yeah, so for what it's worth, I could technically ride... I could ride a 54 Gen 4 Diverge with a 120 stem. Because the stack is so tall. But I'm... Gotcha. Kenny and I are on the other ends of those weird proportions.
So, we are, 100%.
You know, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, I can't buy a Diverge. I would have to buy a Crux. Crux only clears a 45 or a 47. Like, I guess if they just went ahead and made more tire clearance, we could just be done. Like, that line between hardtail and, or, you know, XC hardtail clearance and this clearance needs to just go away, right? It just needs to be the same.
I wonder if all the Roubaix still come with that hover bar. And maybe that's a little bit where they're going with that, saying, hey, yep, they do come with the hover bars. They just look kind of goofy. And, of course, it's going to put more strain on your bearing and all that kind of stuff because you're... shit is just so much higher than that top bearing. However you get there almost doesn't matter. If you do it all with stem or all with bar, or you make a Z-shaped bar that goes up and then down and then up again, it doesn't fucking matter. At the end of the day, where your bars are in space versus where your upper bearing is in space is going to be the stress on the frame slash bearing. So I guess they're doing the hover bar, so if a Matt McCulley wants to ride this, that you can.
Maybe, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, at a glance, they say the use is gravel adventure slash race. Like, yeah. Just give me a little bit more tire clearance. So just a little bit more. Just the tip. Just a little more. That makes sense. They're trying to keep the chain stay short. They're still 430. That's fairly short for a gravel bike. You want to go into another abomination of a drop bar bike that's probably coming apparently not too long from now? January of 2026?
Sure.
Salsa teases full suspension drop bar mountain bike or e-mountain bike. So it's essentially a full suspension cutthroat.
Interesting.
But
I really wish QBP would just stop making, I don't know, cut some more brands and start making more Terravel tubeless tape. Put all those resources into making, I don't know, whatever they're going to make again, another Karate Monkey or something, and put it into just getting tubeless tape onto your shelves.
Do you like that tape?
That's it. Yeah, it's great tape. It's never fucking in stock. I've bitched at every person at Quality about it for 2 years. And I'm like, it's such a good product. You guys surely make a whole shitload of margin on this. Why can't you keep it in stock and why don't you tell people about it? And yeah, they don't care. It's weird. So for everyone out there, that yellow, semi-stretchy, semi-translucent Terravel tubeless tape is some of the best tape on the market. It's absolutely fantastic. It's reasonably priced. It does everything that you want tubeless tape to do. But it's almost never in stock.
Hmm. All right, then. We use Muck Off, and I'm not really a fan of it.
It's medium good. If Stan's original tape is on one end of the spectrum and is terrible, because it is, the Muck Off is somewhere in the middle, and the Red Envy tape and Terravel tape are at the top.
So
there's
the
probably
Terravel
some other ones I haven't
like
tried.
The Envy tape?
It's a lot. It feels a lot like that new Red Envy tape.
Yeah, that stuff is. It conforms really well.
Yep. It's the perfect amount of stretchy, but not too stretchy. It's just the right thickness. It has a little bit of translucent property to it, so you can kind of tell when it adheres really well. It just changes color. It kind of takes on the color of whatever base rim it's taping to.
It's slightly, it's like 90% opaque.
Yep. It's just the perfect amount. And it's fairly sticky, but when you do go pull it up later, it just pulls off super clean. It doesn't typically tear. I think if you have it on there for 10 years or something like that, it's probably going to tear when you take it off. That's not a huge deal. But generally speaking, you can just yank it off and it comes off in one piece. It's just really good freaking tape. Like, it's so good. I can't say enough good stuff about it. And I want everyone to try it. And I want QBP to make more of it.
So QBP, just tell us where you get it so we can just... Kenny and I will go in and we'll just order our own.
Yeah, I'll just do some research on it and we'll call it the JRA tape and then we'll retire billionaires. So yeah, QBP, stop making that tape. It's great. No problem. I'm going to figure out who your supplier is and I'm going to undercut you. I'm going to get a whole fucking container ship of that shit.
I'm laughing because I don't know if you're joking or not.
I'm not joking at all. I'm going to go to the club on that tape money.
Jesus. Yeah, that's kind of my complaint with the Muck Off tape is it does peel up. Like when you try to peel it, it's really bad about leaving behind its adhesive. So that just becomes a whole nother pain in the neck.
I feel like the Muck Off maybe tears a little bit as well. It, like sometimes if it starts to tear, it's just going to not come off in one piece.
It does. That I generally see from problems, though, meaning it's because the adhesive isn't releasing or it's because I'm removing this tape because someone has gorilla fisted it with a bunch of tire levers and there's like 19 holes in it. So
got it.
I had a customer, I forgot about this. You know what? I don't even need to mention this on the show. We don't need to talk about customer stories anymore because I've gotten yelled at in the past about it. But this will be the last one, actually. You can put a metal tire lever through an aluminum rim. Just straight up.
Sick.
I've seen it.
That's awesome.
And like this person called and was like, yo, I think I messed up my rim. I might have put a hole in it with my tire lever. I'm like, okay, just bring it in. I'll look at it. And I was thinking that it just had, like, messed up one of the spoke holes or something. No, it was like the bead seat was just folded in, touching the outside of the rim. And I was like, oh, buddy, that's not good. I'm like, yeah, you need a new rim.
Do you remember, were you working at Outdoors when we sold like one of those first sets of Envies way back in the day, and someone just got incredibly unlucky, and it was like their first or second ride, and they put like a full-on framing nail straight through the whole shebang. It was through the tire, through the first part of like the webbing of the rim, and then out. It made its own spoke hole out the other side.
Mm-mm. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
I had that happen on an aluminum rental bike at Wheat Ridge. Road bike dude put a nail through the rim, like through the rim bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like freaking out, and he's like, oh man, if I have to buy a wheel. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to put a new rim strip in this and run it. I'm like, they already drilled 24 holes in here. What's another one? And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm very sure. And
did it go all the way through and poke out the other side, or did it just kill the inner webbing?
No, it just smoked the inner webbing part. Like the
Yeah, that's no problem. Yeah, you're fine.
Who cares? Yeah, so that's that. Do you want to move into our sole listener question? We have one.
Let's do it.
All right, this is from Max. Hey, JRA. Max, sorry, there's a little bit of translation issues. Max here from Spain, not her from Spain. Max here from Spain. Been listening for some years now, and this is the first time I'm writing in. Thanks for hours of great, insightful entertainment. Thanks to you three, I'm starting to look at guns, trucks, and in general, Americans slightly differently, winky face. Now to the question. Just for clarity, I own three bikes. A Genesis Tour de Fer, flat bar, gravel, tour, bikepacking, bar bike. A Mondraker Crafty R e-bike, my enduro fun bike. And a Sonder Transmitter, my trail, hardtail, / bikepacking rig. Option 1. Sonder is 27.5 with a 150 fork. Been toying with the idea of swapping for a 130, 29 fork, and 29 wheel. Sonder says this doesn't change geo. This is the cheapest option. Option 2. Kind of fallen for the look of the Specialized Chisel full suspension frame only, pink and yellow. I could use parts from the Sonder and build this one up to have a full suspension, good-looking rig. Option 3. Get an Epic Evo. Not sure how much better this would be than the Chisel, but will be more expensive and not as good looking paint job as the Chisel, in my view. It's got 120 as opposed to 110 and can be a little lighter, but I'm not really a weight weenie, as you can tell by my other bikes. Winky face again. So questions would be, in your view, what would you do? Intention for this bike is more long day ride, bike packing, light trail bike. I have some trail riding, but locally I mostly have your equivalent to chunky 4x4 dirt roads with a fair bit of elevation or natural enduro riding that I will continue to do on my e-bike. Thanks, and I intend to keep some hybridizations questions flowing as I find some things great to make fun of you, i.e. your continuous flipping between metric and imperial. It makes me laugh and does my head in at the same time. Yes, I know the bike industry uses both, wheels versus frame, geo, for example, but you tend to mix them up for all sorts of shit, and it blows my mind. Thanks again, and great work, Max. So, the elephant in the room is, try being an American where everything is just in whatever the fuck it wants to be. Bullets are weighed in grains. There's 7,000 grains in a pound. A pint is 16 ounces, and then a quart is 32 ounces. Because it's a quart, because it's a quarter of a gallon, which is 128. If you can tell, like, not only did the British dudes come over here and just get drunk, and they're like, fuck it, we're not paying taxes anymore, but they're like, fuck it, we're going to, and don't correct me, I don't care where all these stupid measurements came from, but they're like, fuck it, we're going to use the most arcane fucking measuring you can imagine. You know, like, 5,000.
Well, then you got the Canadians too. The Canadians do stuff in like beaver tails and.
Well, I was gonna say mile 5,280 feet, five toe mate O. Is you're supposed to remember it with some stupid mnemonic device? No, just make it a fucking kilometer. And yeah, like, dude, just try living over here, because then when you go to work on some shit, half of it's gonna be in imperial, and then the SAE, whatever, and then you fucking the other half of it is going to be metric, and sometimes they use both fasteners on one vehicle. Like, Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah, I try to always do my part there when I buy a kit or encounter a kit that comes with both SAE and metric sockets, for example, I throw the SAE ones away.
You don't,
just so they can't hurt any, so they can't hurt anybody.
You don't shoot them out of a cannon.
That'd be pretty cool, but someone might pick it up or something, and then want to use it.
I guess you could
so
crush
just throw them away.
But here's the real thing. What do you put your socket on, Kenny?
Well, I'm going to change that too. I mean, it's part of my plan. We'll talk about it.
Okay. So there will be no more quarter-inch drive sockets?
No, that's going to be gone.
It's going to become 6 mil?
It's going to be gone.
Great. I can't.
It'll be,
wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It'll be a 5, 10, 15, 20.
25, 30, and so on.
Yep. I mean, they'll be in 5 mil increments.
Some industries have some honkers, you know. So,
yeah, they'll be in 5 mil increments. It's going to be really easy. It's going to work great.
Yeah. So, all right, now let's get to your real question, because we hate using two types of measuring as well. I think option two is the best. You buy a chisel. Chisels are dope.
I totally agree. I love wonky shit, but generally speaking, when you start doing wonky shit on older bikes, it's never going to turn out quite the way that you envision it in your mind. It's just not.
Well,
and newer stuff is just so much better. And I'm not trying to get people to just blindly buy new stuff, but truly, for the most part, new stuff is just better. It just is. It's better designed. It's probably going to last longer.
I mean, they were making Saunders in 2019. It's not that old.
It's a newer-ish standard, probably everything on the bike, so you probably have a more fighting chance of riding that thing longer. Yeah, I totally agree. I would do the chisel. I think the chisel is dope for the money. I think short travel, full suspension bikes are amazing. For most people, in most riding, that's the bike to have. Even if I had to do crazy chunky stuff, if I was on a modern geometry bike that's not going to want to chuck you over the bars, if I was on like a 120 bike, there's not really anything that I wouldn't do on that bike that I would do on a 200 bike.
Yeah, it's just how comfortable are you going to be, right?
Yeah, for sure. But that, do I want a 120 bike, or do I want a rigid single speed? Yeah, absolutely. I want the full suspension bike. So I'm saying, I think the perfect modern mountain bike for most people is a short travel, full suspension, modern 29er. They're just so freaking good. Now, if your main purpose is bike packing, maybe as not a good idea, giving up that main triangle for storage is kind of a big deal, but it's not a game breaker. You can do all kinds of cool stuff. Aero makes those crazy racks and stuff that mount to your stays, and you could get creative and do stuff if you wanted to.
Wait, Aero or Tailfin?
Aero.
I'm not familiar with them. Did we already talk about them?
Yeah.
How do we?
Maybe AR. Oh God, AROE bags. AR. Yeah, shit. AEROE. AEROE. Yep.
Yeah. Tailfin makes some stuff. Old Man Mountain makes some stuff. I mean, there's definitely options. So.
Yeah, I mean, this website's literally showing a stump jumper.
Yeah.
With a whole bunch of bags on it.
Oh, God. I'm like going down the rabbit hole now, Kenny. Fuck. Yeah, I mean, if you have what we have, like if you're thinking you want a full suspension for the gravel roads that you're riding, you want a full suspension for the gravel roads you're riding. It's just so much more fun. It's so much more comfortable, and yeah, you're going to give up a little bit of space, but I had the Sonder pulled up, and that bike doesn't have a big front triangle. I don't know if Kenny pulled it up, but for those of you that aren't...
I tried to pull it up, but it just pulls up the Sondor's electric motorcycle garbage. How do you spell that?
S-O-N-D-E-R, transmitter. It's like a Hanzo, you know, it's a very...
You're saying a whole bunch of words that I don't know.
Kona Hanzo?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I mean, it's like any trail hardtail on the market. It's got like a very low top tier.
I gotcha. Okay. We've discussed it, but yeah, I've officially reached the limit of the amount of shit that is in my brain.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, it's not super low, but it's also not. Yeah, you ain't holding a lot of shit in there anyways, so. It's
got
fun.
It.
I would say go with the chisel, and I think you'll be really happy.
Yep, chisel's my vote.
God, the chisel frame only weighs 6 pounds. That's like hardtail. That's like probably lighter than his Sonder frame.
They're freaking sick. And they're not that expensive.
God, and that pink is good. I don't need this. Anyways, yeah, that's oh God, and there it is. Pay at your own pace, starting at 0% APR with a firm right there on the Specialized website. It's just finance your bike. What do you think? Well, we've talked about that ad nauseum. We don't need to talk about it.
What do I think about what?
I was just going to say that, it's really not important. Just every bike is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think that's going to leave a hole of really light and efficient bikes. You know, I don't know of a really, like, Giant's off the map. Trek just released.
Are you saying you want, like, a 100-100 razor-sharp bike?
Well, I mean, I think there's still parts of the country that could really benefit from that. You know, the Floridas, the places like that that don't really. I mean, I guess the Epic World Cup covers what a hardtail, like a comfortable hardtail.
I think they're gonna slowly die. I think they'll always be there. I think it's gonna slowly die. It's like the SUVs. People want SUVs because they're slightly more convenient. They're more expensive. They're worse on gas. They take up more space, all the things. But, you know, for most people doing average people things, they find it more convenient. So that's what they do. And I think that's what we're going to get with the mid-travel full suspension stuff. I think you're going to see fewer and fewer 100-mil bikes.
No, but then I'm saying on that short end, but then in the middle, I think there's a chasm opening between, like, the 120-ish bikes, like the Epic and the Epic Evo, and, like, the Stump Jumper.
Sure. No, you're not wrong about that. I think there's some really, really solid 120, 120 bikes now. I think I'm calling them 100, 100. I'm going to say 100 or less. I'm kind of grouping that all into one category. But the razor sharp 100 mil bikes, I think they're going to start going away. 120, 120 is getting insanely popular, even for full race bikes. And yeah, you're right. The 130 kind of 140 zone, not a whole lot of stuff living there, and then you got a whole bunch of stuff in 150, 160.
Oy.
But yeah, I don't know what to... I'm just thinking about my own experiences. I've had an insane amount of fun on roughly 100, 100 bikes and kind of 120 bikes. And then I had that mid-travel Stump Jumper, and it was neat. But if I was trying to truly ride gnarlier stuff with it, I would much rather have my Kinevo. So, I mean, yeah, I know that's an e-bike, right? But if it was an enduro, if I'm going to have a two-bike quiver, I'm going to have the 170 bike, and then I'm going to have the 120 bike. But I guess if you can only have one bike, that's the only reason to me that a 130 or 140 bike should exist, in my opinion.
Okay. All right, well.
Do we have any other questions?
No, that was it. Do we want to be patrons and shut this bitch down?
Let's do it.
Oh, God. Trying to run two computers here. Jesus Christ. I almost hit X on the recording. Fuck me. All right. Starting at 10. I don't know if I have this right or not. I don't know how they did this. Everything is right, but there's a K in the as the first $10 per month. But everything else is ordered correctly. $10 a month. We've got Kurt, Timothy, Taylor Swift. Somebody made their name too long to read all this shit at once. I hate you, Clayton. Skunk in your trap. Jim, the fucked up trike guy. Samuel. No, wait. This is all fucked up. Jesus Christ. I'm just going to start over on patrons. I got to fix this. Jesus fuck. It's like 90% there in alphabetical order. But I think that was just by luck. Oh no, they're just not alphabetizing them within price anymore. Oh, that's really fucked up.
Does it matter?
It was alphabetized every time before right now, so I thought something was wrong.
Sure, understandable, but
it matters because I thought something was wrong, and there's nothing wrong. So we're just going to run it and leave all this in. So Samuel, Bearded Bag O' Dicks, Zozo, Eric, Burt Reynolds Mustache, Taper Boar Pro, My Pal Dow, MTB Shenanigans, Mike Jones, Cam Irish 1. But this does mean I have to scroll back and forth because I won't be at the A's before the next price. Tennessee Zach, Green Giant, AJ, Leland. I find it really annoying that Matt checked Slack after I made a Patreon name about it, but before he saw it. Then Ride Time Extended, JC, Gordon, Josh, Fart Noises, Tom's P, Ryan, Bill, Aaron, Sparkly Nips, Ty, oh my god, underscore, Noah, Angry JRA Forever, Barrel of Dicks, Jake D, Frank the Tank, Tom Pickle, Apple Bottom, Make Him Want a Bite, Chunk Norris. At 11:11, we've got Awkward Work Boners. 14 Australian, we've got Patamelon Disco. 16:50 Australian, we have Dean. And then at $20 a month, we've got Brian, Scott, Joe. I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds. Poop Wrench at $26.06 a month, a pivot bike covered in Gatorade and sadness. $30 a month, we have Harley, Troy at $31, and Six Pack Outdoors, Trails Don't Build Themselves at $50. So there we have it.
Excellent. Well, thanks everybody. Shut it down.
Oh, God, I got to find that button. Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along Show.